This is a criminal cause for a bail application. Case number 21-CR-466, United States versus Andrew Russo. Counsel, starting with government, please state your appearances.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning, everyone. James McDonald and Devin Lash for the United States.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. This is Jeffrey Lichtman and Jeffrey Einhorn for defendant Andrew Russo.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning. I know your client isn't on the phone, Mr. Lichtman, but I'm assuming that he would agree to proceed by way of this remote video conference, and that you also agree that given the circumstances, this is the best way to proceed this morning?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. I think it is your application for bail, so maybe you ought to start.
Thank you, Judge. The issue of a defendant's medical condition has been argued for decades in federal courts, as we all know. The defense typically claims that a defendant is impaired or can't be properly cared for by prison doctors. The government, usually backed by BOP doctors and their own experts, claim the opposite. We've all seen this. Defense lawyers have often said, and not to make light of this, that there seems to be no affliction that the government claims that their doctors can't treat in prison. This is the first time, however, in 30 years of practice where the split amongst medical experts has changed. This time, every medical doctor or professional who has reported on the defendant's condition joins with the defense and notes that he has Alzheimer's, dementia, and other neurological impairments. The MDC, in what I consider to be an extraordinary move, tells us that they can't even care for him there. And this isn't something that we requested. We weren't even advised beforehand that he was being moved from the prison to a nursing home. What it leaves is just the government alone, a lawyer or lawyers with no medical training, telling the court that he's fine, that he's just fine, has some memory loss, and that he's receiving wonderful care in this nursing home. Now, I'm going to make a short presentation, Your Honor, if I can. You've read our two submissions, the one from October 21st, I believe, and then the second one was from last night. But the government writes that although defense counsel claims that Russo has a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease with dementia, the record put forward by the defendant's attorney shows only that the defendant experiences memory loss. Those records do not provide a diagnosis of cause or indicate the severity, extent, or day-to-day impact of the impairments. And then the government writes, it appears that defense counsel relies primarily on medical records from Russo's confinement at the nursing facility to argue that he's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's with dementia. And then the prosecutor writes, however, the medical chart indicates the physician at the nursing facility examined Russo once in his 8-day stay. Notably, this diagnosis is not put forth by Russo's longtime treating physicians, particularly his neurologist. This one-time assessment from nursing facility should not outweigh the opinion of Russo's treating physicians. Here's the obvious truth, Judge, when you actually read the records. Every facility which has seen Mr. Russo, from the MDC, the nursing home, the Brooklyn Hospital, all indicate he has Alzheimer's and dementia. And there's no dispute about this amongst the various medical places. They're all legion. Every last one of them has it in their notes, and they didn't get this from the defense. As for Mr. Russo's own physicians, the records from his June hospital stay for a heart issue contain notes about his sundowning. That's a symptom of Alzheimer's and dementia, as we do know, as well as his agitated delirium. He also was disoriented in the hospital and walked out of the hospital in a stupor in June, Judge. That's in the hospital records. Before he was indicted here, before the government claimed we were apparently either fabricating or overstating his condition. Second, the government claims that Mr. Russo is getting world-class care at the nursing home, yet nowhere do they mention in their argument that he only had one visit in 8 days. He's getting world-class care, but now they're saying he only had one visit from a doctor at the nursing home. Therefore, how can you possibly take that doctor's opinion? Third, as I said, he was moved out of the MDC due to his inability to care for himself due to his mental impairment, which included sundowning. It's mentioned in the records. This was just after a few weeks at the MDC when they moved him out of here. As I said, they never do that. We've begged medical facilities to move defendants into different places that are more suited to their needs. This was done by themselves on their own. The government says that he's receiving around-the-clock care at the facility, and contrary to our claims, he was provided rehabilitation and other care. The records show consultations by dietary specialists, recreation specialists, and it says, quote, resident will benefit from the independent activities at the comfort of his own room, as well as spiritually and socially appropriate visits from staff following COVID protocols and guidelines and social services staff. And then the government writes, notes that Russo anticipates returning to his previous setting upon completion of rehab and medical clearance. We were there, Judge. The around-the-clock care the government speaks of is 24-hour-a-day chaining by his ankles to a tiny hospital bed in a cramped room. I asked the marshals, what are you doing? Look at him. He's barely awake, and you've got him chained by both ankles to the bedpost? And they said, we don't have a choice. And the government talks about this rehabilitation. The government reports what the defendant said, apparently, a delusion that he anticipates a return to the MDC upon completion of rehab. The facility doesn't say that. They're quoting what Mr. Russo said. And Judge, he's not being rehabbed from anything that the MDC couldn't handle. He was sent to the nursing home for palliative care. The MDC can't care for him due to his mental decline. They write that in the records. His condition is only going one way. He's 87 years old. He's not rehabbing a knee injury. He'll remain in a nursing home chained to a bed for what? For the next 2 years or so, until there's a trial in this complex 14-defendant RICO case. The fact is, it's inhuman, it's barbaric, and it's nothing that we should tolerate or make light of. When the defendant dies in a few months because of his advanced condition, chained to a hospital bed, a presumptively innocent man charged with a labor union extortion, what will we say then? Oops. And the government then says that if Mr. Russo is returned home, how can we claim that he'll be better off than in the government's fine care? Well, I'll just point to the fall that he suffered. And Judge, you saw the picture, the result of it. He's got two marshals with him at all time, even as he's chained to a bed 24 hours a day, except when they let him go to the bathroom. When he fell at the hospital, not only was counsel again not told about the fall, just as we weren't told about the heart episode that occurred on Friday the 15th, you know, you've seen the picture again. We weren't told that he was hurt. It shows a very serious fall on the man's face. An 87-year-old frail man could very easily have died from such a fall. Yet the government claims that it's not a big deal because he didn't break any bones. How many falls will an 87-year-old like this survive, is what I would ask. It's a miracle that he didn't break his hip. It's a miracle he didn't fracture his skull. Is the picture of the defendant that we submitted our papers, is that an overplay? And understand this, when we put in our motion for bail, Judge, we didn't have the records from the Brooklyn Hospital that explained about the fall. We called, they wouldn't speak to us, despite the fact that we gave them HIPAA releases. They wouldn't give us any records. They never even informed us that he got hurt. They wouldn't talk to us. So we speculated, when you see two very black eyes, very, very black eyes, and that bad bruise on his head, we assumed that perhaps he was assaulted. What else could we assume? We didn't know. All we had received from our HIPAA releases was a handful of pages from the nursing home. And it's only from there, last Monday morning, that we even found out that he had the heart episode and was moved to a hospital. So Hill's going to wait 2 years for a trial while chained to the bed 24 hours a day. In 6 weeks in jail, since he's been incarcerated, he's been removed from the MDC. He was sent to a nursing home. He was sent to one hospital, then another hospital. He's had bad facial and head injuries. Every medical record from each facility reports that he has dementia and Alzheimer's. We'll have an incident a week at this rate until he dies. And if somehow he survives 2 years of being chained to the bed, and Judge, respectfully, he won't, a presumptively innocent man charged in a labor union extortion case. And at the end of the day, Judge, I don't mean to put the cart before the horse, but this isn't a murder case. What's he going to be offered in this case? The last case that he had 11 years ago, he was offered 33 to 41 months. I mean, we're going to leave him in jail until he does his time served or until he dies? The only issue that matters here, the only issue, it's not about what he was back then. The issue is, are there conditions that will reasonably assure the safety of the community? That's it. Talking about his criminal history from the 90s is irrelevant here when the man's cognitive abilities have deteriorated so badly that the MDC say they can't care for him, that he needs to be chained to a bed 24 hours a day, presumably to protect himself. And then again, you saw the picture and you know what he looks like now. And the government seems to think that releasing a defendant to house arrest with the strict electronic monitoring and the approved visitor list with no cell phones or the internet is replicating the MCC. It's not, Judge. We've had hundreds of bail applications in this courthouse in the Southern District. These are the kind of bail conditions are granted every day in this courthouse and in Manhattan. I know because I've gotten them in the last few days alone in another case. What the government is claiming basically is that there are no conditions of the release that can safeguard the community. And basically only because he's supposedly has a leadership role in organized crime. And that's not what the law is. That's not what the Bail Reform Act says. Courts have released defendants on bail in these types of cases. And in support of their claim that these very restrictive conditions that we've proffered, including $10 million bond, $7 million in property, strict house arrest, the approved visitor list, no cell phones, agreement to have the house searched at any time, the phones tapped, the government claims that they're meaningless and easily circumvented. And of course, there's no case in support of this fantastic claim because no cases exist. And again, the government's position ignores the man's present cognitive decline. That's what matters when you're making this decision. And I'll say this again, Judge, and I don't mean to belabor it, although it is my style sometimes. When is a defendant ever in a position in a bail hearing in which every doctor or medical caregiver from the prison to all the facilities that the defendant has been at agrees with him? It's usually the defendant versus the BOP. Here it's the defendant and the BOP and the nursing home and a hospital versus the government. And this is what I can report anecdotally, Judge, because we've actually seen the defendant multiple times. He doesn't remember our names or even that we visited him a few days prior. He doesn't know what prison he's been in. He told me that he came from the MCC. The MCC was shuttered months ago. He can't help doctors with his medical history. Every facility writes that he's an extremely poor historian. So what is he realistically going to do here to harm the safety of the public? He's going to send them messages out about what? He doesn't even know where he is. If you asked him right now, and I wish you could, he couldn't tell you what borough he's in. I can guarantee you that. And Judge, I'm 56 years old. And what happens after a period of time is that you have people in your family that have dementia and Alzheimer's. It happens as you get older. And we all know, anybody that's experienced it with a family member, that it can advance very quickly. And moving a patient from facility to facility, jostling him, him falling, him being in loud, stressful places, he was in a bad car accident, that hastens the disease. Judge, are you still with us?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. We just lost your video.
Yeah.
After the jostling and the moves hastened the demise. And after his arrest, Hello? As I noted, he went to Brooklyn Hospital, then the MDC, then a nursing home, then Kingsbrook Hospital, where they didn't have any space for him, then back to Brooklyn Hospital. Now, I don't even know where he's at right now, if he's in a nursing home or a hospital. They don't communicate. All those moves were just in 6 weeks. And I'm at the end, Judge. What I'll say is that the government claims that he just simply has memory loss. Well, we saw from the June hospital records that he was suffering from sundowning and agitated delirium. From the MDC, they described his sundowning, how his mental status changed during evening hours. That's sundowning, Judge, and that's what patients that have Alzheimer's and dementia get. Their mental state gets worse as the day goes on. The government doesn't even ask to have him checked by even more doctors beyond all those that the MDC, the nursing home, and the hospital have already checked. They just say he's fine in prison. So in conclusion, Judge, despite the government's position, which no medical team has agreed with, the MDC, the various hospitals, or the nursing home, we're all in legion against the government on Mr. Russo's cognitive condition. We're here solely to determine whether conditions exist which can reasonably assure the safety of the community. And without question, that is the case here. Because, Judge, just because the government feels that Mr. Russo is the boss of the Colombo family, just because they want him to stay in jail until he dies, that's not what the Bail Reform Act says. And if we leave him in jail the way he's going right now, he will soon die in federal custody just based on the evidence of the last 6 weeks alone. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. Who wants to address the issue from the government?
Thank you, Your Honor. James McDonald for the government. I'll begin by saying that most of what Mr. Lichtman said is unfortunately not supported by the medical records on which he purports to rely. And I think the court can start with the presumption that the absence of references to specific medical records, the absence of references to particular diagnosis, the simple jump to a conclusion, which is how the defense started its motion, that he suffers from, quote, advanced dementia and Alzheimer's, without a probable diagnosis of that, without any of his doctors saying that and indicating a diagnosis of that, shows the recklessness with which he's approaching this. And frankly,
well, let me just interrupt you, Mr. McDonald, because I reviewed the records and the word Alzheimer's is all over the place. So I get what you're saying, but I don't really think that the records that I saw corroborate what you're saying. And I mean, to be frank, there's actually no way scientifically to diagnose Alzheimer's until someone is dead and you cut open their brain. But I believe that reading the records that I saw, in particular, the records from the MDC, which admittedly indicate they don't think they can care for him, all indicate the kinds of cognitive issues, whether you call it dementia or Alzheimer's, that Mr. Lichtman has just been describing. So I understand when you say there's no true diagnosis of Alzheimer's, but until we cut the man open, we won't be able to reach that diagnosis. So let's just call it dementia and let your arguments go from there. If what you're telling me is he doesn't have dementia, okay, that's a different argument.
What my argument is, Your Honor, is that we need to be specific and clear and precise in these ways, and that Mr. Lichtman is not doing that. And what the government has tried to do in just the last 48 business hours since receiving the defendant's submission is to try to identify as carefully as possible what the medical status is, what his conditions are, what his own doctors have indicated his conditions are, and what appears to be the best course of treatment. Everyone, I think, agrees at this point that Mr. Russo needs to be in some sort of nursing facility. Notably, the defendant's position as to his release would not do that. It would return him to his home, where there are a number of indications that he was not receiving and would not receive the type of care, even assuming that Mr. Lichtman's diagnosis is correct, that he would otherwise need. They're simply trying to return him to the position he was in when this case was investigated, and when, frankly, the most reliable narrator in this case, which is wiretap interceptions and the views of his many criminal associates who met with him, were generated. And up until July of this year, and one reason that we went into such detail in our filing concerning not only what the evidence against Mr. Russo is, but also how did the people who have known him for decades, view his cognitive abilities? Certainly people acknowledge that he has memory issues, but did they conclude, did they say that he is unable to give directions, that he is not to be respected as the boss of the Colombo crime family, that he cannot understand what's happening with the extortion of this labor union and the health fund, that he cannot weigh in on important decisions about how this extortion was going to proceed? Absolutely not. The evidence and recordings and records we put in from just a few months ago show that despite what Mr. Lichtman is claiming of advanced dementia, Mr. Russo and the people around him did not recognize that. And as Your Honor is aware, certainly from your familiarity with both Alzheimer's and dementia and hearing these types of cases, one of the most important factors to look at here is the progression and baselines over time as to how someone was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And what Mr. Lichtman's filing, most importantly, is completely bereft of is any prior medical record showing what assessments he received last year, what assessments he received 2 years ago, when any of these medications were prescribed. I completely understand the numerous references to Alzheimer's that occur within some of these medical records. That appears to be based, as best we can tell, on two factors. One, reporting from either Mr. Russo or his family members, and two, his prescription for Donzapil, which is a drug that is prescribed often to treat individuals who have Alzheimer's. Now, notably, one of Mr. Russo's own physicians, when listing his medical prescriptions, and this is his cardiovascular doctor, and I believe it's Exhibit D or E to the defense filing, does not even list that he is receiving this medication. In addition, there are indications that he's receiving medications such as Xanax that are not indicated for people who have dementia, among other things, because it has been sometimes believed and shown that Xanax causes early death in individuals with dementia and Alzheimer's. And so what you have here is a smattering of medical records that do not give the court the history over time as to what Mr. Russo's status, daily activity, and functioning have been. What you have are a number of conclusory allegations by Mr. Lichtman based on pulling words out of medical records and not a comprehensive review, which obviously it appears
as the government asked for and performed its own evaluation of the defendant, because I can only go by the records that are presented to me. And these are records from the MDC and from the two facilities that he has recently been at. Those are the records that are before the court, and those are the records that concern the court at this point in time. As you know, what his condition was a year ago or 2 years ago, if you've ever had anyone in your family who suffers from dementia, things change very rapidly sometimes. And Mr. Lichtman's argument that being incarcerated, falling, having a car accident, those are all possible factors that could change the diagnosis. What you're asking me to do is to speculate as to, you know, why he's on Xanax, why he's not, why his cardiologist doesn't mention a specific drug. I looked at your letter very carefully. I did not see the response to the medical concerns raised by the facilities that are most recently treating him.
Your Honor, the concern at the Metropolitan Detention Center was that Mr. Russo would not be able to complete his daily activities. And so it was appropriate for him to go to a nursing facility. Mr. Lichtman posits this as some sort of complete anomaly. The U.S. Marshal Service has contracts with various nursing facilities specifically for this purpose. It happens. It's certainly not something that anyone wants to happen. No one wants to see any particular person in a nursing facility, but it does happen. And the Bureau of Prisons said that he should be in a nursing facility for his treatment. At the nursing facility, not due to his mental issues, he had a cardiovascular incident. Heart issues, as Your Honor also knows, one of the main reasons for dementia is a vascular disease and vascular dementia. He was taken to hospitals to have examinations with respect to cardiovascular, not mental fitness. Will the government absolutely try to conduct an examination here based on what Mr. Lichtman is positing? Yes. When did we first find out about all of these issues? When Mr. Lichtman finally alerted the government to all of these issues last Thursday with his bail application. And frankly, despite having a month to speak with Mr. Russo's family and to obtain medical records, did not provide any medical records that would fully substantiate the very serious advanced dementia premise that he is proposing, and which would be completely contradictory to the record that showed a very knowing individual behaving over most of the past year in a way that showed clear criminal conduct. And so what he's juxtaposing here, frankly, cannot be reconciled with what he's put forward. But each of the questions—
Can I ask another question? Yes. Keep asking for records from his private doctors. And my question is, do we know whether his private physicians, his neurologist, his cardiologist, have had access to him in the last 6 weeks since his arrest? because if they haven't seen him, I'm not sure what their records pre-indictment, pre-arrest are going to inform the court.
No, I do not believe any of his private physicians have seen it. I presume that the defense counsel has been providing these medical records to private physicians that they're consulting with. I, of course, have no insight into that, but I don't believe any of his private physicians have been in a position to see him, Your Honor.
So if that's the case, which I'm assuming would be the case, that's why I asked, I'm not sure criticizing the defense for not providing recent diagnoses from his private physicians is helpful to this analysis. The issue is, what is his state now? And what is the evidence that we have? Not what he looked like a year ago. What is the current situation? And I guess I read your submission, your quotes from the various, I assume, wiretaps. I don't see anything in any of that quoted information that contradicts or even deals with what we're dealing with right now.
Your Honor, the facility, the nursing facility he is in, we've respectfully submitted in view of his criminal history and, frankly, up until at least three months ago, his knowing and clear participation in this offense appeared to be the most reasonable and appears to be the most reasonable way to assure the safety of the community and limit his access to other members of the crime family.
But at the same time, the government is saying we have to keep this man shackled to his bed for what? For the entire period that the case is proceeding? This is to protect what? To protect him, to protect the community. If that's the case, I'm not persuaded.
The U.S. Marshal Service has protocols with respect to the detention of inmates. I am, of course, not able to determine what the appropriate protocols are with respect to how someone should be restrained when they're in a public facility, especially an individual who's charged with serious crimes. That is what the quote shackling refers to. He's restrained because he's in public facilities and he's charged with various very serious crimes, just like any other defendant would be. Now, of course, when put in the contention of shackling and outside the context that it is a standard operating procedure for all federal inmates, it sounds and can appear worse than it really is. In fact, when Mr. Russo fell, he was not shackled. He was walking because he is given liberty to move around within the room, and he fell of his own volition. Unfortunately, what Mr. Lichtman then did was turn that into an accusation of government misconduct and abuse. And so it's another example that what I think is appropriate here is absolutely a full cognitive assessment for Mr. Russo, an analysis of where he stands right now as Mr. Lichtman appears to be on the verge of trying to seek, although he has notably himself not sought that yet either. That seems to be, based on the allegations he's raising about advanced dementia, where this is going. The government, in the last, as I've said, few days, has tried to cobble together as many medical records as possibly exist to give the court the most accurate current picture as to where he stands. But we also put that up against where he came from. At home, he was not clearly receiving the type of treatment that would be indicated per Mr. Lichtman's filing. The MDC reports that when he was first incarcerated here, he arrived with pills in numerous different bags, unlabeled, outside of prescription bottles, in no way indicating when they were dispensed, when they were prescribed. There is absolutely no indication or suggestion or reason to believe that the proposed conditions that Mr. Lichtman has set forth to return Mr. Russo to his home are going to provide him adequate treatment. Frankly, he's not given any thought to the type of treatment that Mr. Russo appears to need, contrary to at least what has been done so far with the nursing facility and trying to treat him and then taking him to the hospital for a cardiovascular assessment. At the hospital, he's received numerous investigations and treatments, consultation with neurology, consultation with neurosurgery, multiple scans. Notably, despite the dementia and Alzheimer's allegations, we see no blood work, no cognitive analysis, no nuclear imaging, no records that you would normally see, at least in an assessment stage, as to whether any of those conditions actually exist. what you see is that he has mild cognitive impairment. That is the clearest reference in any of the medical records from the June neurology report. Mild cognitive impairment can, in some circumstances and often, result from Alzheimer's. It can result from other diseases as well. Not all mild cognitive impairments progress to Alzheimer's dementia. Some do, some don't. That is the record of the most recent condition. And what mild cognitive impairment indicates is that it does not affect daily activity. That is the key description of mild cognitive impairment, that he can continue daily activity.
But I thought that the MDC's records indicate that one of the reasons they sent him to a nursing facility was exactly that, because of his mild cognitive impairment issues, as you've described them, whether that's what they are or not, he could not care for himself in the MDC, correct? So I want to put aside the medical issues because I've already made my decision on this. I want to hear from you. When is the last time that you have solid evidence that this man ordered some sort of violent activity on the part of his co-defendants or others involved in this extortion charge that you've brought against him? Because I am concerned that the issue that you're raising is he is the head of the family and therefore he's going to order further violent criminal activity. In the absence of evidence of that, I don't know that you have shown what you need to show, which is that he is a clear danger to the community at this point.
I point the court to two incidents, which are both detailed in our recent letter. First, in May of this year, there was discussion by co-conspirators that Mr. Russo had been consulted about another member of the Colombo crime family, who we refer to as Colombo member, I think, or Colombo member one in our filing, and whether or not that individual was a rat or was, would work with law enforcement. And there are references in the wiretap that, among other things, in consensual recordings, that among other things, that individual had signed his death certificate, and that Mr. Russo was himself very upset with that individual. In this context of the Colombo crime family, that is a clear indication of a consideration of retribution up to including killing someone about potentially ratting in this case. Second,
so that was in May. Was the individual killed?
Among other things, and due in part to the government's involvement, no, he was not, Your Honor, because as we have a responsibility to do, we take a number of steps, and we did here, to make sure that violence did not come forward, as a number of the defendants in this case so clearly sought and wanted to happen. So no, that individual was not fortunately killed. That does not justify, however, the discussions by any of the defendants as to what they wanted to happen to that individual. And second,
have all of these recordings been provided to the defendant?
No, they have not been provided yet, Your Honor.
You permitted under the statute to then rely on them without having provided them to counsel?
Yes, Your Honor, I am. I'm allowed to proceed by proffer, and I've also quoted them at length, and their accuracy, I don't think, can fairly be questioned. And frankly, the defense does not question or challenge the accuracy of any of these recordings. And I think, given the voluminous number of them, Mr. Lichtman, given the voluminous number of them, I don't think that they're fairly susceptible to question, given what we've put forward in both the detention memo and recently. And the second thing I'll point, Your Honor, to is the July conversation when the defendant met with a co-defendant, Michael Uvino, about this extortion scheme. And what they discussed there was the continuation of a violent extortion. One does not get money out of a labor union and the individuals who work there simply out of the good graces of the people who work at the labor union. That is done through threats and violence. And that is what Mr. Russo, as of July of this year, was continuing to sanction and promote through Mr. Uvino, who was reporting to him because Vincent Ricardo, another co-defendant, was out of the state at the time. And so Mr. Uvino went to see Mr. Russo about this scheme. So as of 90 days ago, yes, Your Honor, we can point to evidence of violent extortion. The case came down shortly after that point in time. Obviously, we're addressing a number of the issues that have occurred since then, but this is not that long ago. And the level of decline, while certainly possible that Mr. Lichtman is positing happened here, has not been confirmed with these medical records. Perhaps additional analysis and assessment will show that that is what happened in the last 90 days. But frankly, it would be a very stark decline of someone who was, among other things, in a car accident because he was outside of his home in a car, not confined to a bed, not in a nursing facility. He was out on his own volition. What the investigation showed was that for the better part of the year, he would regularly go out, meet at restaurants, meet with others. He's
that was on his feet. That was before the arrest, correct?
That's before the arrest, yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Lichtman, do you want to respond to anything that counsel has stated here?
Just a few things, Judge. The more obvious falsehoods. The government claims that they didn't know about the cognitive decline or the allegations of Alzheimer's until we filed our motion on October 21st. Well, the pretrial services report for bail for the judge on October 5th notes cognitive decline, notes Alzheimer's. I'm assuming that they read it. I think that they read those types of things before the first appearance. It was in there. The idea that our doctors would have any contact with the MDC doctors or the nursing home or the hospital, we weren't even told that he had any of these issues. They wouldn't even respond to our HIPAA request. The idea that our doctors would be allowed to visit him, it's ridiculous. They're talking about the fact that you go back to the wiretaps and the investigation, Judge, you obviously get it. It's not what occurred in November. It's not what Vincent Ricciardo might have said, paraphrasing something that the defendant said earlier. The talks from July, which of course we haven't seen, are not direct quotes from Mr. Russo at all. They're paraphrasing. I don't understand why we can't get these tapes, Judge. They want to rely on them. They're making a proffer. The first day we got into the case, we asked them. We signed the protective order immediately. This is what happens in bail applications, Judge. The government will come out and they'll tell you at the very beginning, the defendant is facing 600 years in prison and we've got all this evidence. We're not going to turn it over to the defendant. And then 6 months later, they give him an offer of 24 to 30 months. And they don't have to answer to that first judge and say, I'm sorry that we lied to you, that we misled you and made you believe that he was facing so much jail time. And that's why he's a flight risk when we just offered him 24 to 30 months. So the fact that people around him haven't recognized it, the government surely read our submission. We have letters from friends and family that talk about it. And it's in the records, the medical records. It talks about his delirium. They even talk about whether they should give him prednisone. And there's a discussion about it in the records, I believe, in June about the artery situation where the doctor said because of his mental state, we may not be able to give it to him because it'll exacerbate it. As you correctly noted, Judge, and clearly you've had some experience with Alzheimer's, when this type of thing happens, it can happen very quickly. And they talk about the fact that they're caring for him so well and that he got into a car accident in July and we can take care of him better. Well, he fell and nearly died from a fall. He could have died from that fall while he was shackled to a bed 24 hours a day. One of the few times they let him go out, he fell and smashed his head where the officer, I'm not allowed to impugn their integrity, said that he didn't even get hurt, that he didn't even hit his face. Well, the picture sadly refutes that claim. So the government can't take care of them. The MDC says they can't take care of them. And now you've got prosecutors claiming that they're completely stunned that there's gambling in Casablanca. They're stunned that he has any sort of mental condition. They even say in their papers that he had some memory issues. It's now the end of October. This happens quick. And Judge, I hate to bring up a personal experience. I really do. But I have some experience with this. I had my elderly mother who suffered from dementia and Alzheimer's live with me for 5 years. She was slowly getting worse. Finally, we felt we couldn't care for her anymore. And we put her into a nursing home. She died soon thereafter. When you take somebody out of their very comfortable, understood position where they've lived for a long time and you start jostling them around, when you have patients with dementia, you have patients with Alzheimer's, and that's what all the records say. The idea that this is, you know, something, some fantastical allegation that we're making, it's their doctors that said it. The idea that he doesn't have this and that this is good for him to be locked down, chained by his ankles to a bed 24 hours a day, is that the type of treatment that the government claims that they can offer Mr. Russo, and he can't get better treatment at home? Well, he's comfortable at home, Judge. What happened in May and June is not what he is at on October 27th or whatever day today is. He is rapidly declining. He is rapidly declining, and something needs to be done, or he will be dead in a few months, and we'll all come back here. We'll all scratch our heads and say, wow, that's really unfortunate that we had this opportunity to extend his life. But because we're so desperate to punish him and put him in jail, because we claim that he's the boss of the Colombo family, Judge, the types of things I'm saying, I mean, does anybody really think that he, based on the records that you saw, that he's making decisions now at the end of October that anyone's listening to? Plus, you've got these massive conditions that are in place. We're not letting him out. If he breaks any one of these conditions, he goes back to prison. The family forfeits $10 million. They're allowed to tap the phones. They're allowed to enter the house anytime they want. They're allowed to approve a visitor list. Since when are these conditions so easily circumvented? And how is he going to circumvent them? They're going to have, they can watch him 24 hours a day. The government doesn't even address, they put it in their letter. And frankly, it was ridiculous. The idea, oh, these are poo-poo these restrictions. They mean nothing. Everybody gets around them, Judge. Nobody gets around these restrictions. He's going to be on strict house arrest. They'll be able to determine who's allowed in the house. We're not going to challenge that. We just want the man out so that he can die peacefully at home with his family, as opposed to being chained by his ankles. And the great care that they gave him, he fell on his face. They had multiple officers there. He fell on his face. He could have died. And then they lied about it. That's the type of treatment that he's going to get. And that's only after a few weeks. Let's see where he is in 3 months.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Lichtman. One of the issues the government raised was that when he was arrested, he came carrying a plastic bag full of medications that were not in bottles. And the government is basically, I think, from that saying, What steps are being taken to care for him properly at home, given his heart condition, his dementia, the various drugs that he's taking? What assurances do we have that he will be properly cared for at home?
Well, Judge, as part of one of the bail conditions, we'll make sure. Look, obviously the family wants to care for him. They don't want him released to their home so that they can kill him. You know, the condition, as you know, it changes daily. So he will have his doctors go in and see him. He will be treated. And it's not like Alzheimer's is curable, Judge. It's not like this dementia can be reversed. They act as if he's going to be treated and everything's going to be great and he's going to go back to being the head of the Colombo family. These prosecutors have clearly never had any experiences with somebody who's suffering from severe dementia or Alzheimer's. They clearly don't, because they're acting as if, well, he'll just be treated and he'll be back as new. It doesn't get better. This is palliative care. That's all you get. Even when the patient is physically well, the dementia kills you. It tells you not to eat. It tells you not to eat. Even if you think you're hungry, the dementia will tell your body you don't need food. That's how people die from this. Look at the man in the picture. Look at the reports from the hospital. Nobody's saying maybe. They're saying it as a matter of fact. Of course he has this. The government would have you think, Judge, that just because they believe he's the boss of the Colombo family, that an 87-year-old man with severe cognitive decline, that science, medical science, does not apply because they want to keep him in jail and they say that he's a bad man. It's almost impossible to believe for them to say here that they did at the beginning. And frankly, it renders the rest of their argument highly suspect. Well, Judge, there's nothing in the records that says that he has dementia or Alzheimer's. Well, it's only repeated 75 times. I don't know what else we're supposed to do. Were we supposed to, when we found out about this, that he was sent to a nursing home, we immediately jumped on it. We got the records together. We asked them to give us the records. They ignored us. We did everything we could. We couldn't send our doctors in. We reacted as quickly as we could. This was not a minor submission that we put in. We went to see him multiple times. We did everything we could. We sounded the alarm with our bail motion. I don't know what else we're supposed to do.
I understand, Mr. Lichtman. Let me give Mr. McDonald an opportunity to respond, and then I'll rule.
Your Honor, a few things. In no way has our submission or anything I've said in any way treated this flippantly or with the gross mischaracterization that Mr.
No, and I'm not suggesting that you did. I'm not suggesting that you did.
At no point have we lied to the court or has any marshal lied about anything here. These allegations.
And I'm sure that's true.
Oh, and what we're trying to do is be precise. We are trying to give the court both the record that we have from our investigation over the last year when this investigation took place, to show the court what we as investigators, what the FBI as the lead investigators saw about Mr. Russo's behavior, and they did not see the person that Mr. Lichtman is claiming is there today. Is it possible that he is that person? It is possible, but it would require more than what Mr. Lichtman has provided. It would require a robust medical examination, and that is not the record at the moment before the court.
I understand that, but I'm going to release him on the bond proposed by Mr. Lichtman. I believe it's, and Mr. Lichtman, remind me, it's $10 million secured
by $7 million.
Secured by $7 million. Right?
Correct, Judge.
Properties, correct?
Yes.
And it's house arrest. You know, obviously, if he needs to go to the hospital, he goes to the hospital. But otherwise, you know, he's going to be under house arrest, electronic monitoring. The government can search the home as you've offered. All of his electronic devices are going to be limited, right? Cell phones, etc. They can search those as well. A list of people coming to see him. What were the other issues?
Judge,
obviously pretrial supervision, right?
Let me see what else. I don't want to miss any of them.
Judge, just one thing. There are a number of people that live in the same house. We just want to make sure that they're immediately included on that list of visitors or people allowed to be there.
Well, you provide the list. That's fine.
Thank you, Judge.
I mean, I'm obviously not going to say he can't have anybody living with him. That's the whole point of all of this. And if the government wants to arrange for their own independent neurological examination or other psychological, however you want to call it, exam, the court will allow that. And they just need to make arrangements through you, Mr. Lichtman. And Mr. McDonald, if you can come back to the court with proof, medical proof, that all of this is made up or nonsense or whatever you want to call it, then obviously you're free to revisit the issue of bail. But the concept of this man being shackled to the bed with the, and I say this, you know, the not recent issues of directing violent activity. I think whatever your evidence is, I don't find that he is at this moment a danger to the community based on the evidence that I've seen, such that the package that's being offered would not deal with those concerns. Again, you can always come back to the court if you feel, you know, you can prove otherwise. But I do think it's kind of unfair that the defense is required to respond to the government's arguments about how dangerous this man is when they haven't seen the evidence that the government's relying on. And I understand you've picked and chosen the information that you want the court to see. But at this point, given everything, I think release on bail is appropriate. This is not a circumstance where there are no conditions. And unlike the Peter Gotti case, which I decided many years ago, we didn't have in that instance the same concerns about the health and mental status of the defendant. So in terms of differentiating those cases, that's where I come out. Mr. Lichtman, back to you. Was there anything else in the bond that needs to go on there?
Judge, I think I'm just reading the conditions. I think you've hit them all. Obviously, what I would consent to are all the conditions, in addition to what you just said, anything on page 7 to 8 of our October 21st letter, but I think you've hit them all.
Okay, does he have a passport?
I'm not sure, but if he does, we will get it and surrender it. Probation.
Judge, he indicated to pretrial services that he didn't believe he had a passport any longer. We followed up and we've heard that he does not.
Okay. So the question is, when can we get the Schurters in to sign the bond and do all that stuff?
Judge, we'll start that immediately. We'll contact them and get it going.
Your Honor, may I ask that pretrial also weigh in on the release conditions? I'd also ask that if
I think she was about to and you interrupted her. It's okay. Go ahead.
Your Honor, Bianca Carter with Pretrial Services. I just want to do some clarification. I wanted to know if Your Honor is releasing Mr. Russo, how is he going to be placed on the location monitoring? Does anybody know where he is? Would someone bring him to our office? That's like the biggest question I have.
Can that be done at his home?
He's living in New Jersey. That has acts in another district to do it, but I'm trying to inquire.
He's not in New Jersey.
It wouldn't be set by us. Where's he going to be residing at?
He's going to be in New York, but the question is it possible for pretrial services to go to his home and hook him up, or does he need to be brought to your offices?
I can try to arrange that. So the second question is that, Your Honor, you indicated the cell phone restriction. Are you asking our office to install any type of software on his devices? Or are we just, when we go to the home, making sure he's limited to a certain amount of devices and just looking at them?
Well, let me ask the government what it is that they would request.
I would request that for any phone that is within the home, that cyber monitoring software, if available, be installed. I would ask that there be a list and disclosure of all phones and phone numbers that are used within the home by any individuals there. And I would ask that any phone use by him to speak, presumably only with his attorneys, would be identified, and that there be notification about his phone use as to when any phone call, which could be confirmed by the cyber monitoring if it's not available. Only certain types of phones you can do cyber monitoring on. And so I would ask that there be a redundancy for confirmation of any telephone calls with his attorneys.
I mean, Judge, as long as that's possible to be set up, I mean, we don't have a problem with it.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to leave that up to Ms. Carter to figure out how to do it.
With respect to the travel restrictions,
where's he living? He's not going anywhere.
He's in Glenhead, Judge.
And where's that?
Long Island.
Okay. I believe. So Eastern District of New York would be the only area, in case,
If I could just check my Long Island geographics
He's in Long Island. He's also on home detention, so I don't know that he should be traveling anywhere.
Well, he might have to come to court.
A hospital or court.
It's near Oyster Bay. Okay.
And the property on which Mr. Russo resides contains a number of buildings. I would ask that the search condition include all premises on the entire property, not just whatever he characterizes as the home.
Thanks. That's fine.
Okay. And do we know where he is?
We do know where he is, Your Honor. I'm not going to put that on the public record, but I'm happy to communicate afterwards. It's a security issue to identify where individuals are.
Right, I understand that. But the question is, how's he going to get from wherever he is to home?
Well, there's several complicating issues there, including that he's still in hospital care. And so when he should appropriately be released from the hospital, I guess it will become an entire issue for him and his attorney and his family to decide, and not one that the marshals will be weighing in on in accordance with the court's order. But I don't know exactly what the hospital recommendation would be with respect to his release, since I think it's a complicated question we would need more information on.
Well, since the since the defense attorneys don't know where he is, I don't know how, I mean, you're going to have to coordinate with them somehow so that they can coordinate with the hospital to actually determine that question. So,
as much as I appreciate Mr. Lichtman's bombast, he does know where he is. He's at the same hospital he was at 3 days ago. So
that's fine. I didn't know that until now. Thank you.
I mean,
how can I know that? They don't communicate with us.
Okay.
They communicate
with
you.
We know where he is. You need to communicate with his doctors to make sure that he can be safely released. Obviously I'm going to have to advise him of all of these conditions. Since we couldn't get him on the phone today, we're going to have to reschedule this at some point. So we'll prepare the bond. I'll ask you to let me know when you can have the Schroders available. And we'll have to try to figure out how we can get the defendant on the phone at some point.
Judge, you tell me, and we'll work with, I can't work with the hospital, as I said. I can communicate with the marshals. I'm sure the government will have better luck in terms of getting him on a line where you can communicate these conditions. Apparently, he's on the line now from what we were told. I don't know that he's able to respond, but he's apparently listened to this, I assume. At some point, didn't they bring him into this? Or was it just at the start they couldn't bring him in, but I just presumed that he came in at some point.
I mean, this is the court clerk. There is someone that has a 12325 thing that called in. I'm not sure if that's him or not. I can unmute them and see if that's Mr. Russo.
Mr. Russo, are you on the phone? Is the marshal there?
I'm asking them to unmute and they don't seem to be unmuting.
Hello.
Hi, yes.
Yes, is this the marshal?
Nope, I don't think that's them.
The okay. Number you're referencing is still muted, so I don't, even if they're responding.
Oh, it looks like they unmuted.
Hello?
Hello?
Who?
Can you hear me?
Yes, who is this? You.
Okay, I'm going to transfer the phone back to him.
Mr. Russo?
Hello?
Mr. Russo?
Yes.
Hi. This is Judge Pollack. I'm here with your attorneys, Mr. Lichtman and Mr. Einhorn, and with the government prosecutors. Do you understand?
You're not here.
No, I'm on the phone. Everyone is on the phone. Okay. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Okay. So I am going to release you back to your home on a bond. Okay. Once, do you understand that?
Yes.
Once the hospital says you are healthy enough to go home. Okay.
Yes.
All right. You are not allowed to leave your house unless it's to go to the hospital or to come to court. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. There's going to be you're going to be on an ankle bracelet that will tell me if you leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you do, you're going back to the MDC. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. You are not allowed to make phone calls once you're home, except to your attorneys. Okay?
Yeah.
And the government is going to be monitoring your phone. So we will know if you speak to any of your friends, your co-conspirators in this case. Do you understand that as well?
Yes.
Okay. And the government can come and search your home at any time. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. You also are not to commit any crimes while you are at home, okay? I'm going to release you, but you, if you commit another crime, that's it. You're going back to jail. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. And you are not to tamper with the witnesses or with the jury or try to influence anyone in their testimony. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes? Okay. And if you continue to engage in the extortionate activity that you are charged with here, and we catch you doing it, you will be going back to jail. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I am going to ask you, can I put your signature on the bond for you?
Can you, I don't understand what you mean.
Well, normally we would be in court and I would give you the bond to sign, right? But you're in the hospital. I can't do that.
Okay.
So I'm asking, can I put your signature on the bond?
If you want to.
Yes. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else I should specifically discuss with him?
Nothing from the defense, Judge.
Mr. McDonald?
No, Your Honor, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. So,
Judge, just one thing, if we can put a date on for the sureties, I'm sure that we can wrangle them by tomorrow. Perhaps they could be interviewed this afternoon over the phone.
I'm going to let you work that out with Mr. McDonald.
Okay.
And if you are ready to go tomorrow, we can do it tomorrow.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you, Judge.
All right. But again, you've got to make sure he can be released from the hospital.
I think, yes, Your Honor, the first thing would just be removing the shackles, and then we can deal with the hospital about the appropriate time that he either gets moved to a different facility or released from the hospital entirely.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Judge. Right.
Thank you, everyone. Have a nice day.
You too.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, everyone. Stay safe.
Thank you.